始吗？
是，谢谢。
好，那 Regina 麻烦你。
好的，请稍等。Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the conference call. Our chairperson today is Ms. Bernice Liu. Bernice, please be in your call and I'll be standing by for the Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you, Regina. Good evening. My name is Bernice Liu from Nomura. Welcome to Global Wafers conference call to announce the execution of business combination agreement with Siltronic. Now I will pass over the time to Global Wafers Vice President and spokesperson, Mr. William Chen.William?
Thank you, Bernice. Hello, everyone. Welcome to join today's call. I'm William Chen, Global Wafers Vice President and the company spokesman. We also have Doris Xu, Chairperson and the CEO of Global Wafers in this call. Doris will give us the transaction summary first, and then I will present the Siltronic overview and the transaction rationale.The final Q&A session will be hosted by Doris. For today's presentation file, we had uploaded onto company website. If you do not have the file on hand, please access into our website to get the most updated file. Please note that some information during our discussion today will consist of forward-looking statements, which are applied throughout the call and this presentation.These are subject to significant risk and uncertainties. Actual results or trend could differ materially from our forecast. Please refer to the safe harbor notice in our presentation disclaimer. Now I'd like to hand over the call to Doris.
Thank you, William. A good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you again for joining us on this call today.On behalf of Global Wafers, I am very pleased to announce that today we have signed a business combination agreement with Siltronic and we will be launching a voluntary takeover offer to acquire all of the outstanding ordinary shares of Siltronic. We believe that a combination of Global Wafers and Siltronic will create a leading player in the global silicon wafer.Industry and allow us for the following four goals. Number one, expand the production to satisfy growing demand. And number two, significantly increased business, financial, and operational scale. And the third, further customer diversification. And the fourth, potential for meaningful synergies and value creation for our shareholders and customers.We believe that the transaction is in the best interest of both companies' shareholders, customers, and other stakeholders. Now, let me introduce the summary of the transaction on page 2 of the material. Please turn to page 2. We are launching a voluntary takeover offer to Siltronic shareholders at an offer price of €125 per share in cash.Valuing 100% of Siltronic's equity at €3.75 billion. In addition, in line with Siltronic's dividend policy, the executive board of Siltronic will propose a dividend of approximately €2 per share for fiscal year 2020, which is expected to be paid to Siltronic shareholders prior to the completion of this transaction.Our offer price represents a 48% premium to the 90 days average price of €84.59 on November 29, 2020, prior to the ad hoc public disclosure of the advanced discussions between Global Wafers and Siltronic. This offer price comes as a result of intensive negotiations between the parties.Siltronic and Global Wafers over a number of months. We believe this offer represents an attractive and fair price for Siltronic and is highly compelling to Siltronic shareholders. The executive board of Siltronic has already expressed its support for our offer, indicating that they consider the offer price to be attractive and also appropriate. We will be funding this transaction via committed acquisition financing as required under German regulations. Financing will therefore not be a condition precedent to the transaction. Both GlobalWafers and Siltronic are very excited about the transaction as we believe that it will create a leading player in the industry with a comprehensive product portfolio that can offer sophisticated products to all semiconductor customers globally. We believe that by bringing our two companies together, we will be able to expand production, technical capabilities, and also operational efficiency to satisfy growing demand, significantly increase the financial and operational capabilities and scales of the business, and also achieve further customer diversification. Siltronic's largest shareholder, Wacker Chemie, has also signed a hard, irrevocable undertaking agreement under which it will tender all of its Siltronic shares, representing approximately 30.8% of total Siltronic shares outstanding. This agreement precludes Wacker Chemie from switching its support to a competing offer, should one arise, either before or during the acceptance period. Completion of the takeover offer will be subject to satisfaction of a minimum acceptance threshold of at least 65% of Siltronic's issued and outstanding ordinary shares, inclusive of Wacker Chemie's 30.8% stock, by the end of the acceptance period, as well as customary regulatory approvals in the relevant jurisdictions. I will now hand the presentation over to William to provide a brief overview of Siltronic. Thank you very much. William, please.
Thank you, Doris. Let me start introducing the Siltronic overview. Please turn to page 3. Established in 1968 and headquartered in Munich, Germany, Siltronic has long been one of the global leaders in the manufacture and the sales of the semiconductor silicon wafers. Siltronic is a key supplier to all top 20 silicon wafer customers, including SK Hynix, Samsung, and Intel, among others. Originally a wholly-owned subsidiary of Wacker Chemie, Siltronic underwent a spin-off and became public listing in June 2015 on the Frankfurt Stock Exchange. Wacker Chemie further sold down its 51.8% stake to 30.8% in March 2017, and now plans to sell its entire remaining stake through this transaction. While the equity relationship between Wacker Chemie and Siltronic may be gone, we are aware of the very strong relationships that the two entities have and look forward to maintaining it as such, even after the transaction has been completed. Page 4. Siltronic operates production facilities in Europe, Asia, and the U.S., and has a central R&D hub in Burghausen, Germany. It has high-volume production facilities in Germany and Singapore. In Singapore, a new crystal pouring hall has been built recently. Page 5. Siltronic recorded a revenue of around 1.3 billion euro and EBITDA of 409 million euro in 2019. It has demonstrated a strong resilience throughout the industry down cycle and had profitability margins in line with industry averages. As you are aware, the world around us is becoming smarter and more connected. We believe there will be tremendous growth and demand as a result of new technologies such as AI, mobility, IoT, and virtual reality. Recovery from the recent sector downturn is already underway. Driven by increased demand for memory and 5G, and their need for higher wafer usage. We also expect a strong growth in data traffic, driven by the growing adoption of digitalization, accelerated by the COVID-19 outbreak, to support the recovery and the rebalance market demand and supply. Page 6. Move on to the strategic rationale for the transaction. A combination of GlobalWafers and Siltronic will create a leading player in the global silicon wafer industry and lead to the first, expanded production capabilities to meet the growing demand. The second, enhanced financial and operational scale. The third, greater customer diversification. And the fourth, potential for meaningful synergy and value creations for GlobalWafers, shareholders, and customers. Page 7. The addition of Siltronic's top-tier facilities will significantly enlarge our manufacturing capabilities to meet the growing demands, as well as widen our geographical distribution channels. In terms of both product and the geography, the combination will be highly complementary. We also believe there could be potential cost saving through operational excellence. We highly value Siltronic's brand and workforce and have agreed not to close any of Siltronic's German sites until at least the end of 2024 and maintain Siltronic's brand as per our business combination agreement. Page 8. The transaction will also significantly enhance our competitive position in the industry by creating the second largest semiconductor silicon wafer manufacturer globally. The combination with Siltronic brings together two companies with complementary skills and resources, which will enable the combined business to invest more in capacity expansion. The transaction will also allow us to better compete with other players in the sector, which increasingly figures new suppliers sponsored by government investments. From company history, GlobalWafers have consistently improved our competitive position in the market through internal growth and M&A. Regarding the M&A, over the last 12 years, we have made four notable acquisitions. Globitech in 2008, Covalent Materials silicon wafer business in 2011, Topsil in middle 2016, and the Sun Edison Semiconductors in late 2016. In each of these transactions, we have been able to deliver successful post-merger integrations by genuinely understanding the competitive advantage of each entity, and therefore being able to help NAND utilize the GlobalWafers platform to unlock their true potential. We are confident in our ability to repeat our success with Siltronic as well. Page 9. GlobalWafers will gain significant financial and operational scale through this transaction. The combined GlobalWafers and Siltronic will produce pro forma combined LTM revenue of $3.7 billion and LTM estimated EBITDA of $1.4 billion. We will also virtually double our current R&D budget from $60 million to $140 million. The value of our total assets from $3.3 billion to $5.5 billion. and workforce from 6,700 employees to almost 10,500. Page 10. Through this transaction, Global Wafers will also strengthen its relationships with new and existing customers across Asia, Europe, and North America. In particular, we believe we can leverage Siltronic's high degree of brand awareness in key markets to further diversify our customer base. In addition, the combined entity offers the full suite of silicon products into applications, ranging from automotive to IoT. We believe our customers will benefit from our enhanced product portfolio and product quality. Page 11. The combined company will also have a more balanced, diversified geographic revenue mix, with stronger penetration into the Chinese market. We anticipate that the current and the potential customers, as well as partners of Global Wafers and the Siltronic, will view this combination very positively, as it will provide a much stronger business with a broader product portfolio. Page 12. As mentioned earlier, Global Wafers has had a successful run of acquisition globally to demonstrate consistently the ability to maximize the potential of each acquired company. Starting back in April 2008, we completed the acquisition of the US-based Globitech amid the global financial crisis, which was a high complementary business in terms of geographic exposure and customer base. Subsequently, we acquired the Japan-based Covalent Materials silicon wafer business in August 2011, further diversifying our geographical and customer coverage. Also, it transformed Global Wafers into a top six global silicon wafer manufacturer. In 2016, we were able to complete two more acquisitions. The first being the Denmark-based Topsil in July, and the other being the US-based Sun Edison Semiconductor in December. Both companies were profit-losing at the time of their respective transactions. But after we acquired them, we were able to be successfully pinpoint their competitive advantage and allow them to utilize the Global Wafers platform to maximize their potential, resulting in their substantial contribution to our bottom line, which in turn has created value for our shareholders. Our shareholders were experiencing exponential share price growth, witnessing our transformation from a $600 million company prior to our acquisition of Sun Edison Semiconductor in 2016 to the $10 billion company we are today in just 4 years. All these four transactions have been critical in preparing Global Wafers to what we have become today, a top three player within the global silicon wafer market with state-of-art technology and enhanced product offering. We believe we have the necessary knowledge and expertise to translate our prior success and experience with our acquired of Siltronic. There will be many areas for potential synergies arising out from this transaction. The first, revenue synergies. Expansion of the product portfolio of both companies and broaden potential customer base and outreach. Potential for cross-selling of the parties' complementary products. Enhanced geographic diversification and distribution channels. The second, cost synergies. Improve the operational efficiency through the combination of both companies' best practices. Optimization of the manufacturing network with shared logistic channels. The third, CapEx R&D synergies. Accelerated R&D roadmap development from the collaborations of the technical IP and R&D personnel. Potential development of new products through leveraging GlobalWafers and the Siltronic's complementary technical know-how. Now, I will hand it back to Doris for closing remark and the Q&A. Doris, please. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much for joining us today. I think we are very happy that we have the deal signed, and have the agreement signed. So we hope that we are very pleased that we have reached an agreement with Siltronic on this transaction today. I would like to reiterate that this transaction will be highly beneficial to both companies, shareholders, customers, employees, and all other stakeholders. We very much look forward to working closely with the Siltronic team. Matter of fact, who I have known for many years and hold in very high regard. And we're very excited that and hopeful that to embark on this transformational new chapter of our company. With that, I would like to finish our presentation here, and also we would like to open the floor for questions. Thank you very much. Thank you, William.
Thank you, Doris and William. In view of limited time, now we are opening for Q&A. We will appreciate each participant who raised no more than two questions. Now I'll hand it over to Regina to moderate the Q&A.
Thank you, Bernice. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now poll for questions. If you'd like to register for a question, please press star 1 on your telephone. Thank you. Our first question comes from Sebastian Hong with CLSA. Please go ahead. Thank you.
Hey, thank you, Doris and Willem. I just have one follow-up question. The first one is that I think that I look at the board also approved the dividend for the first half this year, which is $8 per share. So I think the payout ratio seems to be much lower compared to your previous payout ratio. So I'm just curious about, I think the this is because that you need to reserve more cash for the acquisition. Is that right? And the second is that if that's the case, and what's our dividend policy going forward? We're likely to see that maybe in the next 12 or even 18 months that in order to complete the deal, we may continue such a temporary low payout ratio before coming back up to like 80% plus later. Is that right? Thank you.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you very much for your question, Sebastian. Yes, we just announced yesterday that because starting from this year, we will pay dividend two times a year, and the first payment for 2020 for the first half of this year, we're going to pay 8 NT per share. Which will be paid out in February next year. And yes, it's a bit lower than the ordinary, but please bear in mind that this is our very first time to make two dividend payout every year. So this is the first time we made it. That doesn't mean that the second half will keep it low. Just that this is the first time we pay this, so we intentionally keep a little bit more flexibility for the second payout this year, which will be paid out in Q3 next year. So there are some factors we are considering, but it's not necessarily deal related. Sebastian, actually we we also consider the foreign exchange, the impact from super weak US dollar and super strong NT dollar, this FX, potential FX impact, that's one of the issue we are considering. And also, we internally, we have some very important debottlenecking and technology improvement, that kind of CapEx in very short term. So I think that those are very, very important investment for us. You might already know that we have already announced that we will have an investment for advanced epi capacity in Taiwan. So that's another big capacity for us in Taiwan as well. So make a quick nutshell for this question is that the first dividend payout for 2020 is a little bit lower than 50% of the ordinary. I mean, usually we'll expect that what we are going to pay for the full year, but that doesn't mean that our 2020 dividend payout will be this low. That's just because that this is the first half. So the real whole year payout definitely will be wait until that in AGM, June AGM next year, we will make a final calculation for the second payout. I hope this is clear. Thank you very much for your question.
Okay, so I definitely understand the flexibility, but given if we, since it looks like a trailer, you're still reserve some flexibility that suggests that we might have a higher payout in the second half of this year. And if that were to be the case, in order for the company to reach a similar payout we have last 2 years, which is about 80%, or in absolute terms, $25 per share, then it looks like you're going to pay out 100% of all your second half earnings in order to make the full year have a similar payout ratio as we see in the past 2 years. Is that possible or achievable?
No, that's not the... We don't have any firm plan yet. As I said, that there are a lot of uncertainties out there, including foreign exchange rate fluctuation and the CapEx needed for short-term special debottleneck and some advanced capacity expansion. So we do have some short-term capital CapEx demand as well. So I didn't mean that we will make it as high as before, but I just want to keep some flexibility, make sure that everything is like what we are planning. We don't know that if there will be any headwinds from no matter it's COVID-19 or there are still some uncertainties out there, so we just want to keep some flexibility there. Basically, the policy, stable dividend policy, this is still our plan, but we never commit that we will make 80%, 85%, 80% plus payout. Our goal is try to keep high payout rate, but it's not a commitment. I think we will see the real operation, the real overall market status and our overall expansion CapEx demand. All of those items will be taken into consideration. So we have to factor in all the factors, all the issues before we really make a final proposal to AGM.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Sunny Lin with UBS in Taiwan. Please go ahead. Thank you.
Hi, thank you. Doris Bullum, this is Sunny from UBS. Thank you for doing the call. I just have a very quick follow-up. So in terms of the synergy, well, I think in the past you were able to improve the OPEX efficiency of the acquired companies in a very short period of time. But for Siltronic, considering the restriction on their fabs in Germany, how should we think about the OPEX after the consolidation?
Yes, I think that there are some special items we think that we the combined company will be performing better than where we are today. I think it's a little because I don't want to make too much detailed comments on this one before the deal succeeds. So there are several several improvements we can expect, such as efficiency improvement and overall technology operation operation excellence improvement. We do have some plan, but I think it's a little bit too early to make too much comment for now. Sorry about that, Song Sunny.
No problem. So we be fair to assume that for Siltronic consolidation, perhaps the improvement on OPEX side could be a bit more gradual versus the past?
Yes, I think so. And I think Siltronic, basically Siltronic has very good management. Already they have good management even on the OPEX as well. I think the real synergy is not mainly from OPEX cut, not like the past several cases. There are some more growth factors, drivers to make the combined company stronger and better than before. So the technology efficiency, the time to market, we have a lot of positive things to work together instead of cutting down here and there. So the model will be a little bit different from before, several cases. Of course, when we are a combined company, we definitely will look into that, how to make the whole big companies more efficient than today. So both parties will be improved. Not only, it's always, you know, same as in the past, so for transactions, I think the improvement and the benefits always coming from not only one party, actually the whole party. So means that when we combined the benefits, the improvement will be coming from not only Siltronic side but also GlobalWafers side as well.
Got it. Thank you very much, Doris.
Thank you, Sunny.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Lee Dunham with JP Morgan in UK. Please go ahead. Thank you.
Good evening. Thank you for the question. So I just have two questions. The first one is, you just have a fairly open-ended closing date of H2. I was just wondering if there are any specific regulatory authorities that you thought might take some time in order to complete the transaction, given that lengthy timetable into next year. And the second question is just on, you have a 65% acceptance condition, which suggests you're allowing for minority shareholders to continue in that company. And then in your presentation, you do list the number of synergies that you expect to retain. I was just wondering whether those synergies assumed full control of the company, or if they can all be achieved with the listed minority, or you'll consider your options regarding minority shareholders on completion of the deal. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your question. For regulatory approvals, yes, we will need the regulatory approvals from quite some countries and jurisdictions. So far, we consulted with, we have our experts and lawyers working together with us and have already made a lot of assessment. We are quite confident that we will get all the approvals in time. So I don't think that there is any specific country or specific jurisdictions that we will have to spend a bit more time than others. So but basically, I think we just follow the procedures. Each country has different procedures. So, but we think that by the second half of next year, we should be able to get all the approvals. That's our view. So some will take a little bit longer just because of their procedure, a little bit lengthy, longer than others. That's your first question. And the second question is that you're talking about the 65%. Yeah, of course, when we're talking, if we want to maximize the synergies, I think we need more combination, much closer. We have to work as one company. But are we going to really how to make it, are we going to, how to make it a real one company? So is 65% enough or not? I think it's still a bit too, there's no firm decision yet. There's no firm decision yet. So we are working on our goal 65%, and we believe that if we have 65%, we should be able to make a further better control of the combined company. So that's our view, that's why we set it 65%. And if we have 65%, there, of course, there will be still some minor shareholders out there, and we are okay with that, as long as that we can deliver our synergy.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for your question.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Robert Sanders with Deutsche Bank in Hong Kong. Please go ahead. Thank you.
Yeah, hi. Yeah, Deutsche Bank in London, actually. But my first question is just on polysilicon supply. Just so I understand how GlobalWafers works with SAS. So you, I think, source polysilicon from SAS, which also buys from Wacker. Because you know, Wacker has 40% share in semi-grade polysilicon, so I assume that SAS buys from Wacker, and that's a kind of arm's-length relationship. I'm just kind of, there is a concern out there that Wacker could benefit on top of the 125 offer via a preferential deal or pricing and volume deal through SAS to you. So I'd just love you to address that. And the second thing is, you know, when you think about your leverage, Siltronic mentioned today that there was a second phase where regarding the financing after the bridge. So presumably you will raise equity at a later stage because otherwise your balance sheet won't be able to support greenfield expansion. Is that the case? I just wanted to check that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Wacker Chemie is one of the major polysilicon suppliers in the industry. Almost every semiconductor company, solar company, everyone is Wacker Chemie's customer because they are one of the top three polysilicon suppliers in the industry. So we, of course, we are their customer for more than 20, 30 years. It's no exception. Everyone in the market is. It's just that the only difference that you buy, you allocate how much allocation to Wacker, that depends on that, the negotiation and the quality, qualification status. So we have been working with Wacker. They've been supplying our solar-grade polysilicon and semiconductor-grade polysilicon for decades, and same as what everyone in the market for solar and semiconductor companies do. So no special difference for this, and it totally has nothing to do with the deal. Without the deal, no difference for this. So this is my first question to you. And your second question is about our financing. You know, we have a committed the project financing from DBS, and we have our own cash on hand, and so we have enough. We have committed cash confirmation. We have the cash for this deal, the bridge loan and the commitment, cash confirmation and the commitment from the bank. So what about next step? I think we don't have a firm plan here yet because it depends on how many shares tender. So if we get, for example, if we get 100% shares or 90% shares, then that means that we have to draw down much higher number of the capital for this project. Then we will design that. Okay, what next? How to bring down the debt? So maybe we will need some equity arrangement as well, right after the deal close, the completion of the whole deal. So we do have the plan, and this is nothing new. This is totally same as what we did in the past 12 years for the past four deals. So in the past 12 years, we always follow exactly the same model. We get a good banker partner support to close the deal, and then we check our cash position and overall debt ratio, and then we decide how we are going to lower the debt in a shorter period of time. Are we going to make an equity, or are we going to make a bond, or whatever was indicated, long, we have plenty of tools from the market, and we will check the cost and availability of each tool. Then we will decide that which arrangement. Well, maybe we will choose one or two or three, several different combination approaches together to solve our cash flow problem issue. So basically, GWC's model, GlobalWafers model, is that we don't like the super high debt ratio. No, we don't like the high leverage. So basically, close the deal. Depends on how many shares we receive from the deal, and then we will check out how high our debt ratio is, and then we will work out our funding plan, the next step funding plan. Hope I made myself clear enough. Thank you very much for your question.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Jeff Owada with Macquarie in Taiwan. Please go ahead. Thank you.
Yeah, hi, Doris and William. Thanks for taking my questions. Can you talk a little bit about the difference in the product mix and also technology between the two companies?
Yes. Our technologies are very complementary. You might know that we have very strong argon anneal technology. We have very strong SOI technology. We have diffusion product technology. We have very good memory wafer, that means polished wafer technology, and we have compound technology. And on the other hand, for Siltronic, they have very high automation technology, and they have very high advanced node, like 300 millimeter epi technology, and also they have some special unique high, extremely high resistivity, inca growing, so they have some very unique technology by their very strong German engineering team. So both teams have different strengths from technology viewpoint. But if you are talking about a product mix, actually both companies cover basically same product. Both companies are total solution providers. So that means that we support memory company, we support logic product, we support automotive, we support 5G, RF, so both companies do the same thing, but the difference is that which one is strong. We are stronger on some area, and they are stronger on the other. So that's the technology status of two companies. Thank you.
Okay, just the second question. If you look at your earnings over the last few years, from the peak in 2018. You have much more stable earnings than they have. Just kind of curious of how do you evaluate, your much more stable in terms of earnings in kind of a small up cycle, down cycle versus them?
Yeah, that's a very good question. Our overall profitability performance, you are very right, that our overall profitability performance is much more stable than some peers. And main reason is because our LTA coverage is a bit higher than the average of the market. So we believe that higher coverage of LTA will means that more stable selling price. So and that definitely will cause them much more stable earnings. Matter of fact, this year if the US dollar, if FX is not as bad as what we are seeing today, if not there was not so much headwinds on the FX, actually our earnings performance could have been much better than what you are seeing today. So the main difference is coming from the LTA strategy. I would say that is the main reason. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Constantine with Jefferies in UK. Just go ahead. Thank you.
Hello, good day. Thank you very much for taking my question. Just a very quick one with regards to the 65% threshold here. So if you end up not achieving that, I'm just trying to get an understanding about really what happens next. Do you still go ahead and take over Wacker stake? So maybe just some color here. And then my second question is in terms of the technology integration, assuming the deal does go through. Do you expect to continue operating with Siltronic technology or really take it all in-house? Thank you.
Thank you. For the 65%, that is our goal, that we think that we can maximize and materialize the synergies. That's our view. So that's why we target our minimum threshold level at 65%. But if we really have some difficulty to get this percentage, I as far as I know, I think there is some flexibility. If really need to make some adjustment, we still have some room to adjust. But so far, we have only one goal, which is 65%, reach the minimum threshold. That's our goal. That's the best for both parties and the best for the combined company as well. So that's your first question. And the second question is that the technology integration. For the technology integration, I think, let me explain a little bit about our background. As I said a couple times in the past 30 minutes, that GlobalWafers have had four sizable M&As in the past 12 years. And we are very fortunate that all of those four projects turn out to be very, very successful. And one of the secret, one of the key reason why we are very successful is that if you know that our slogan, our company's culture is that it's a global family, global solutions. So we are a big team with a big platform. So every site has its own very unique technology or strength. And then when we become one company, you can always share your technology, you can learn from other sites. So by learning from other sites, you will improve your own technology, and by sharing your technology, the other site will improve their technology as well. So that's how we make the company so successful, like one big family. And that's our culture. And now after combination, Siltronic team will keep their very good technology. But again, this is a big family, a big platform. This is one big family, one big company with a big platform. So we will be able to, on the platform, Siltronic will show their very unique strengths, technology, and also they can learn that the trade secret, the technology from our Korean fab, our Japanese fab, Taiwanese fab, American fab, we can share a lot of know-how there. But also Siltronic's very good special technology idea, scientists, some good R&D technology, that will be shared from Siltronic to other sites as well. So whenever we have a good new family member joining the big platform, every site will improve. That's our idea. So to cut it short, I mean that Siltronic will keep developing a lot of good technology by their own team, and maybe even better, faster than before by using the platform. That's what we call synergy. So the real synergy is the platform and also the scale of the company. Thank you. I hope I made myself clear. Thank you.
That's great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Sure. In view of limited time, we will see to take the last question from a participant. Regina?
Thank you. Our last question today comes from Joseph Chen with Macquarie in Hong Kong. Just go ahead. Thank you.
Evening, Doris, William. Thanks for having the call with us. I just have one question on, do you have any feedback from Siltronic's institutional shareholders besides Walker Chemical, which has already agreed to solve the issue to us? Thank you.
Thank you, Joseph, for the questions. We heard back some info from the institutional shareholders. Some of them are very supportive, some maybe. Basically, I think we have already received quite some support from institutional shareholders. And of course, we have seen some comments with a little bit different view. We did see that as well.
Okay, understood. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thanks a lot for your question.
Yeah, so I think we have time to take one more question. And so, Regina, please.
Sure. And our final question today comes from Donnie Tan with Nomura in Hong Kong. Please go ahead. Thank you.
Good evening, Chair Lady. Thank you for taking my question. I have two questions. So first one is a follow-up on the synergy. So if we check Siltronic's top five customers, I guess we probably can benefit from Siltronic Intel or SK Hynix business. But I'm curious about whether we can still have other benefits like from other potential new customers or new applications by leveraging Siltronic's current customer base.
Okay, thank you very much, Donnie. This is a very good question and very important one. You are very right that not like the previous M&A cases, customers-wise, Siltronic, because both Siltronic and Global Wafers are with some certain degree of scale. It's not like 4 or 5 years ago or 8 years ago when we acquired Japanese companies or acquired MEMC. At that time, the synergy, I mean bringing new customers, and this synergy is much bigger than what we are doing today, because we are basically serving almost all of our customers globally. And Siltronic also, Siltronic is a good company, they are serving a lot of customers globally. So many of our customers are kind of like same customers. Of course, some of the customers, they enjoy much higher share than us, and some others we are outperforming than Siltronic, allocation wise. So I would say that if we are focusing on that, of how many new customers we will receive from the combination, I think maybe not many, not like the deal we have done in the past 12 years. But if we are talking about that from product mix viewpoint, I think we will see some synergy. So for example, even same customer, but we were qualified by that customer for product ABC, but they maybe they are supplying XYZ. And this kind of combination, because the top five, their top five customers and our top five customers are all huge companies, and those huge companies, they have plenty of products. So I think the synergy of this combination is more from broaden the product portfolio more than more customers. I mean, we do have a lot of same customers, because our customers are all of our, most of our customers are very big globally. So you are very right. Not that many new customers will be brought because of the combination. You are right.
Sorry, so more like maybe you can provide like a turnkey solution, something like that, to a certain big customer to provide better service to
yes.
Customers, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. For example, some big customers, maybe we are supplying them some image sensor or RF related product, and they are providing some other products, and we together, when we are one company, a combined company, we will be a more total solution, a comprehensive and sophisticated solution provider to our customer. That's our expectation as well. And that's one of our we deemed very important synergy, potential synergy for the combination as well.
Got it. My last question is, I think you have aware of that lot of investors are caring about the 65% of the minimum acceptance level. So I'm just curious whether if our ultimate goal is still to acquire 100% of Siltronic's outstanding shares. And why I ask this is because as you are also the management of the holding, the parent company SAS, so SAS can recognize the profit and also to get more cash dividend from Global Wafers. So is 100% still the ultimate goal for you? And also, if we learn from the experience from Sunny Sun Semiconductors acquisition back 4 years ago, we actually delist science and semiconductor to save cost. Will we do the same thing after we have a meaningful controlling power on Siltronic? Thank you.
Yeah, that's a very important question for us as well. For Sun Edison, 4 years ago, for Sun Edison deal, the way in the U.S. is very different from EU. So when you get the vast majority vote from the shareholders, then the whole company will 100% of the shares will be tendered to us. So, and of course, since we're their sole shareholder, of course the company will be delisted. And we did that not only for Sun Edison, but also for the other company like Topsil. It used to be a Denmark listed company, also delisted. So I think that's our goal. But right now in Europe it's totally different. So I think that, yeah, we are open, and of course it's welcome to have 100% shares. But if we cannot make it, I think as long as that we have 65%, we are okay with that as well. The most important goal for us is that we have to be able to materialize the potential synergy. That is very important. If it's just a financial investment, we cannot make any, we cannot work together as one company, then the synergy will be much lower. Then that's not what we want. But I think that if we have 65%, I think that we will be able to really make the combined company a very good one, a really very strong company. That's our view. So there is no firm decision today that are we going to have the company delisted? Are we going to take over, try to make it 100%? No, that we don't have any firm decision yet. Today on the table, we have only decision that is 65% is our minimum acceptance level. That is our first goal, and we will see how many shares we can get from the shareholders. We will see the status in five weeks, the acceptance period of time, then we will decide that how to move next. So that's our plan for now, and no further firm decision for next step yet.
Okay, thank you so much, lady.
Thank you, Donnie.
Thank you, Doris and William. That wraps up our investor conference. Thank you, everyone, for joining this Global Wafers Investor Conference. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Have a good evening.